Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'm happy today because I'm in celebration. Praise the Lord. If you haven't started celebrating, I don't know what you're waiting for. But then we go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. You know this portion of scripture. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." Praise the Lord. Now it says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings," not a king, "of kings, is to search out that very matter." What it says is, God does not conceal the matter from you. He conceals it for you. Amen? You know, something can be concealed for you because there is nothing that is of value that is found on the ground. You can't pick a piece of diamond on the ground. You have to dig. There has to be something. You know, anything that is precious has to be sought out. Now, God has a matter which he conceals for you. For instance, if you are, let's say, you have a roommate at university and you share one key. Now, if you're leaving and you suspect he might come before you, you'll hide the key somewhere, maybe under a flower vase or something. Now, you're not hiding it from them, you're hiding it for them. In other words, you're hiding it to conceal it from other people, but in a way that the person who is intended to get it gets it. Praise the Lord. Now, it's the glory of a king to actually seek out the matter, specific matter, which God has hidden or has concealed for them, strictly for their benefit. And now, that is a challenge for so many people, because there is a lot of amens in the church. Amen, 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 amen. But actually, when it comes to the process of actually going to seek out a matter and find out what it is, then people become a bit hazy. They actually do not know exactly where their kingdom is, because there is no kingdom that does not have jurisdiction. And the king, the giver of kingdoms, has a place of your jurisdiction and the matter which he has concealed just for you. Now, even if there are how many billion people, if they all came to God, all of them, he has one specific thing. None of them is duplicate of the other, which is for that person. And he says, this is where your kingdom is. If you can know this and understand this and develop this, you're going to be a king in this place. And everyone has a separate, unique, different ones, and can be down to actual detail. For instance, somebody can be, you go to the Lord and you're tired of being ordinary. Now you want to be a king because it's your glory to, you know, search out a matter. So you go to him, and it takes some effort, of course. Not a lot, but some. Then he tells you, for instance, you are a maize farmer. And now, the interesting thing is, once you get that and go into that area, you become a king. And when you become a king, the fate of other people depends on you in that area. Because there are going to be so many people who are haphazard, who are just what has money, then they go there. Now, for you, you're actually going there because you've been sent there and you're the king of that place. And I've noticed that when somebody is a king in a different area, in one area, even when you criticize them, just like any other king, people come against you. Now, like, I'll give you an example, like in music. Even these secular musicians, when somebody has an area and he's a king there, when you come up and say anything about them, it's like actually you're attacking a king. People will say, "Are you shut up? You're jealous, what?" And because the person has established themselves there as a king, and now kings are not criticized. Okay, you know, now you can come out and let's say in any area, you come and, let's say, in end-time teaching, then you come out and criticize me, and people will blast you without even me knowing, because I'm the king. Amen? Now, okay, I've just given you a small example. I'm kings in so many places. But I want to show you something. Because now, actually, people get angry at you. Because they say you're jealous, you're what? In just like any way, people that now, when somebody is in his lane, it can be sport, it can be music, it can be food, you know, whatever, farming, anything. And God has given them the matter which he concealed for their benefit. And was hidden for generations just for you. This is now for you. This is, you're going to come at such a time, and this is where your glory is going to be. Now, you go there and seek it out, and God gives it to you, and then you go and start exercising it. Then you see how everybody bows down before you. Of course, there are conditions, which I'm going to tell you. You see how people bow down to you, because when you arrive in the place, there is an acknowledgement of the fact that you're the king. Now, there will be other people whom you'll find there. Amen? But if God did not give it to them, they will have to bow down to you. If you actually know how to impose your kingship. Now, we also have to tell you that not everybody who is a king behaves like a king. Because the scripture says that he has made us kings and priests in his temple, in his father's house. So we are all kings. But then there are those who exercise kingship with jurisdiction. This is my area. Because there is no king who doesn't have jurisdiction. And when a king moves out of his jurisdiction, he's nothing. Imagine if the king of one of these kingdoms of Uganda moved and went to Ethiopia. He's nobody. But as long as he's in his kingdom, people will fall down for him and what? You can't say anything against him. So now when you get out of your kingdom, that is when you receive a lot of resistance, and which is totally unnecessary. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and she was telling me that I haven't done what I'm supposed to do in the field that the Lord gave me. Then I told her that you are much better than so many people, because at least for you, you already know your kingdom. Now, there are those who don't even know it. Now, they have to first know it before they start actually exercising lordship over that area. And now there are so many people who do not even know where they are supposed to be. So they are behaving like servants, yet they are kings, because they haven't found their place. I know the wise man of Ecclesiastes says that is evil. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, start from verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Go to the next verse. Folly is set in great dignity. Now, of course, this is not what I'm interested in, but also this is important. You see, you know a place where foolishness is magnified, like social media. People post stupid things, magnified. Where he says now, if an evil thing, where foolishness is set in dignity. So somebody, if you want to get followers, you know what to do. Don't post intellectual stuff. No, that is not that kingdom is this one, where folly is given dignity. and why the rich sit in a lowly place. Now, you're rich in wisdom, you're rich in things, but if you go there, nobody is interested in your wisdom. That is a kingdom where folly. And that, of course, is also even true of some of our societies here, where you see somebody magnified, and yet when you dig beneath them, there's a lot of folly in there, but they are lifted up and accepted as great, and so on. But that's not what I'm interested in. Now go back to verse 5. He says, there is an evil I have seen under the sun. Somebody say an evil under the sun. Now go to verse 7. It says, I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. Now God enthrones you and makes you a king. But there is a servant somewhere who is on a horse and for you are walking. And I'm not even meaning it literally, you know what I'm saying. But where the person who is supposed to be the king is actually taking the lowly place. And you have to learn that once the Lord has given you a place, you have to go and exercise authority. It is something some people find it easier because maybe they are, by nature, They are perfect. But others have to learn that in this area, people have to listen to me because God has given me the kingship. Now, there are areas where you will enter, new areas. And you come with the knowledge that I am the king here. People are not going to receive you and lay out the red carpet for you just because you're the king. No, you have to exercise your kingship over them. And now actually, they kind of notice that you're different. And they know. But still they will try to put you in a place that as you walk, let me sit on the horse. So then you have to say, no, you're the servant. You walk, I am going to sit on the horse. Now, the wise man of Ecclesiastes calls it a weak and evil thing that somebody who is supposed to be on top is below. And somebody who is supposed to be... Now, there are people who are supposed to be below. Every time there is a king, they are subjects. Isn't it? So some people are meant to be subjects. Now imagine a scenario where a subject is actually seated on a horse. And the king or the prince is the one who is walking. Now, this is what this man says. It's an evil thing. It's a terrible thing. And it happens so many times. Because people in the kingdom of God do not know how to exercise the authority. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to project yourself in a certain way if you want people to receive you in a certain way. Amen? I'll give you an example, which I didn't want to give, but I'll give. Some time ago, some TV station called me and said they are hosting me. And I always ask, with who? Then they say, you're going to be with this person. I say, I can't be with them. I'm the president of this republic. If you do not think so, that is your problem. But do you know what happened eventually? They started inviting me alone. I say, I am either there with somebody of my caliber who has to be a head of a political party or something there about. Or I am not there. I'm not interested in your TV. I can do without it. The next thing, they start inviting you either alone, or you ask, who am I with? Then they say, you are with Mugisha Muntu. Then it's okay. He's the head of a party, it's okay. But if you accept to go there and become an analyst, so tell us, what do you think about this? Man, like, you end up walking and servants on what? Horses. And that's not how God... Now, you have to be deliberate about it. Very deliberate. That I am not going... I told one person that you're inviting me. You can imagine they were doing what? This person was waiting for a sports show. I told them that is so many years ago. Like, if you are not ready to receive me in my current capacity, you keep your captivity. I didn't say that, of course, but... You have to, I give the impression that I don't need you. You see, eh? Now, then, all the time, as long as God gave you that place or kingdom, they will eventually come and receive you the way you've insisted they do. If he hasn't, they won't. Because they can tell. But all the time, there is a servant who wants you to walk. And it happens all the time. There is a servant who wants you to walk. And you have to insist that, no, you are the one who walks. I am the king or the prince. Amen? Now, there are people here who are kings, you know. And now I can see people. Some, and you see that they are a bit timid. Eh? They are timid and they need time for God to prop them up a bit. Eh? And get them to see themselves in a certain way. Because even if he told them, they will go and say that they are giants in that place and we are like grasshoppers. So God says, okay, if I stayed here, let me teach you that you're not like a grasshopper. And then after some time, he expects you now to go and load it on people. Because that's what kings do. Praise the Lord. Now, if somebody says that you've been crowned king, like, that means you're supposed to arrive and people acknowledge you as that. If they don't, make sure they acknowledge you as that. You see, there are things which people want to put on the other people. Can you imagine those people? Yet, actually, God insists that you are the one who is supposed to make them see you like that. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, who was 17 years old when he became a pastor. And he told Timothy, make sure they do not despise your youth. Now, he did not write to the believers and says, please don't despise him because of his youth. No, it is not up to the believers. It is up to Timothy. Make sure nobody despises you. Now, whose responsibility is it? Yours. Make sure nobody makes you walk, yet you're the king. And he's riding on a horse. Because the scripture says that is evil. Because servants are supposed to be walking. Praise the Lord. Now, it is that small part of understanding that, okay, this is my, first of all, being sure about exactly what it is. I mean, absolutely sure where your kingdom is. And now when that is done, you just go and now start. By the way, let me tell you, you will order people around. And they will do things. And there is something inside them that they might even do, well, who do you think you are and what. But somehow there is a small acknowledgement of, okay, just insist a bit more and we shall, you know, acknowledge you as such. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, and then it says, and says, I've seen, you know, go to Proverbs chapter 30. Start from verse 21. Now listen to what he says. For three things the earth is perturbed. Three things the earth is perturbed. Now imagine the scenario where the earth is perturbed. There's a lot of confusion in the earth. And he says for three things. And then he adds another one. Yes, for four. It cannot bear. The earth. What can't the earth bear? What is it that the earth cannot bear? Then he says three things perturb the earth. And then he says, okay, the fourth one, the earth cannot bear. Praise the Lord. I want you to imagine what it is that the earth cannot bear before he shows you the next scripture. I want you to just think, what is it that the earth can't bear? That perturbs the world. The whole world is in confusion because of... Go to the next verse. For a servant, when he reigns... Like servants are not supposed to reign. Now, when a servant is put in leadership, he messes the world, and the earth is perturbed. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm seeing kings here, and servants are reigning over them. But then, from today, you're going to go and make sure the earth is not perturbed by you going and sitting in your throne. And then now, what was disorganizing the earth comes down. The others I may not read. Let's just stop there because people, what? For a servant, when he reigns, praise the Lord. Okay, also it says, a fool when he is filled with what? With food. Please don't go to the next verse. Because people are going to be very angry. Amen. But I just want you to know that a servant when he reigns. And now, you see that there are people who were set from their birth to be royalty. And then you come, and then you're royalty, and then you're behaving like a servant. And when the servants see that you do not know who you are, immediately they will go and sit on the horse, and they say, now you pull. But yet actually, you could have come, and they are sensing there is royalty in you. For a servant, when he reigns, the food when he's filled with food. Eh? We go to the next one. Are you sure? Okay, go to the next one. A hateful woman when she's married. And a maid servant who succeeds her mistress. The other two are for only women. That's why I didn't want to go there and insisted. But anyway, that was not my point. My point was, a servant when he reigns. Now, servants are reigning because kings have not gone to search out the matter that makes them king. Because every kingdom is based on the matter. Something. Now, when specifically somebody goes and searches out that matter and comes and he has been given the keys to that kingdom and he comes and he knows who he is, he is not intimidated by people looking at him in a certain way, then eventually all those people Just as gravel settles at the bottom, all those people will settle down and actually acknowledge you as what? Now, you think that, you know, the other day I was in a certain place. I'm giving examples of myself because I want to make something. I was in a certain place. Then there was a parliamentary committee of something. We were there. I was just in a hotel having coffee. So this parliamentary committee came. And there were all these MPs. And I was seated there. And now, like all of them, came and said, "Hey, President, what do you want to know? What?" Now, let me tell you, some of those people were in politics, in parliament from 2001. Do you know what I was doing in 2001? I was writing sports. But 2 years ago, I come and now they are calling me president. People who have more experience than you, they have been there before you. And if I do not project myself like that, they will not see me. They will see me as a joker. But I dare you that anybody sees me as a joker. They don't. They don't. And that is not by accident. It is by deliberate decision. I'm not going to allow anybody to see me in a certain way. You are going to acknowledge me as such. Praise the Lord. So even you see, somebody comes and tells you, there's another DC who told me that, "You write me a letter to request for that." I told him that today, in my world, other DCs are like the lowest of the law. So there is no way I, Joseph Kableta, is going to write a letter to the other DC. It's not possible. And you have in a file a letter from Kableta. You. I told him that. So you open a file and there's a letter from me to you. It's not going to happen. Now you can call that whatever you want. Eh? But the process of princes getting off horses and servants standing on those, start slowly. I know humility. Yeah, that is ego. What? There is nobody who is called in leadership who does not have an ego. Tell you. Now you can call it anything you want, but you have to project something on people, and they will receive it if God has given it to you. They don't have a choice. They will receive it. Now when I looked, I was actually with somebody when they came, and all of them came there, started talking to me. Then I looked and told this guy that these people were in politics when I was a sports writer. But now here they are calling me president. How isn't that God? You try it and see if God has not given it to you. They cannot even call you honorable. They will call you RDC. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. Now, there are things which, okay, some of them I don't want to say. Because I know there are things which I say. Even sometimes even privately in places which have been tapped. And I say them on purpose. And then the next thing you hear somebody who is, the other guy who is the masquerade, answering back something which I said. And it happens so many times. I can even give you a sample. And I sample you and you see. Because there's a time I said that NRM ideology is COVID. Because it helps them kill the entire middle class. In 3 days, the man came and gave a speech and says, "No, our ideology is not COVID." But because now you try saying anything and he answers you. Now, I'm trying to show you that in your mind it might be ridiculous. I think I'm all that. But you see, that's what it takes for you to get in your seat. Otherwise, you'll be walking when servants are riding. That level. And there are places where you can say, "God has given me IT. This is my kingdom." And then you go. And then you go and load it over people who have been there. And somehow they will acknowledge you as that. Because once the king gives, the king of kings, gives you to be a king, that this is your jurisdiction. Like, that is it. But you see, the trouble is, there's a lot of people being, here and there about what they are supposed to do and not very sure. And now you can't load it on people unless you're sure. You can't. Because they will shake you a bit and you'll be shaken. But if you're sure, and you actually went and sought the Lord, and He is near, and He has something, can you imagine, specifically for you, with your name, there is nobody who can get it. If you don't get it, it will stay there and rot. Like, there is no one who can come and get what God has kept for, which is going to make you a king. That's why I said, it is the glory of kings to search out the matter. Now you go and search it out where God has hidden it, has concealed it, not from you, but for you, for your glory, and then you receive it. And then you go and now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go to verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now, hidden for our glory. Praise the Lord. Hidden for what? Not hidden away from you. Hidden for your glory. And your glory is right there with Him. And by the way, some people think when I say go and search it out, it is like go and fast and what. No, you just have to go and ask, where is my kingdom? Because I'm a king. The Bible says that, doesn't it? It says we are all kings and priests. So go and ask Him, where is my kingdom? And who are my subjects? Then now when you absolutely know it, then you come and you will see how the earth will not be perturbed. Because people who are supposed to be in reigning are actually reigning. And the earth is not perturbed because the servant reigns. Praise the Lord. Wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. God ordained it for our glory. Now nobody knew it. He says if the princes of this world had known it, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means that in apparent triumph of theirs, they do not know that you're coming for them. Had they known, they wouldn't have thought that you're a joker. But they wake up tomorrow and somehow they're answering to you and they don't know how it happened. And you just went and did something very small and that you just seek it out. And now I want you to just get this small thing. Just go to Acts chapter 17. Start from verse 25. Okay, this is Paul speaking to the men of Athens. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. 26. Then he says, and he has made from one blood, he has made every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times on the boundaries of their dwelling. Okay, the boundaries of their kingdom. He has determined pre-appointed time. So you could not have come and been a king 50 years ago. It wasn't your time. Now, Paul here is saying he has predetermined. There were kings for that time. Now they are kings for now. Maybe the kingdom you're going to sit in, somebody had control of it those years ago because it wasn't your pre-appointed time. Now Paul says he has a pre-appointed time and then not just a time and the boundaries of your dwelling. Now of course some people have bigger boundaries than others. But everybody has boundaries where this is your. Or there is no king who does not have boundaries. Amen? Hey. Some kingdoms might be bigger, others, but everybody has boundaries of their kingdom. He says, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far away from each one of us. In the hope. So God sets the boundaries in the hope that you will come and ask Him, God, where are my boundaries? This is what Paul is saying. He puts pre-appointed time and boundaries. And says now, Athanasius, your time is 2023. Okay? Your boundaries are here. But you have to come and find out for me. Nobody's going to tell you that. Amen? Now people will preach messages and you say amen, amen, until you go and ask him. You see, there are so many amens. Eh? But if amens were progress, you know the saying of if wishes were horses. So now he says, so that they would seek, go back to verse 26. It says, and he has made from one blood every nation on men to dwell on the face of the earth. So like from one blood, Adam and Eve, he split every nation. This is what Paul is saying. All nations across. And then he predetermined the times for kingdoms, the times for empires to rise and fall. All predetermined by him. Okay? All paths set by him. All of them for you to go and seek out. And then Paul says, boundaries of their dwelling, the next verse. And he says, so that they should seek the Lord. It does not come automatically. It will not come automatically. Amen? It will not come automatically. It will not come automatically. There has to be an element of asking for it. I told you there's nobody who picks something valuable lying on the street. There has to be an element of searching for it. So you go and then you come out with a certain, and this is even for, like, I'm not talking about people who will say, I can hear the voice of God with clarity. No. Even for the most immature believer, you will come out having a sense of where your boundaries are. And say, this is my boundary. So now nobody can touch me here. And then you start exercising authority over it. And then he says, in the hope, can you imagine hope? God saying, I set boundaries in the hope that you might grope for him and find him. I hope you come and ask me, because there is a kingdom there waiting for you. And you're there hustling. King of hustle. You're there walking and servants on what? On horses. And the wise man of Ecclesiastes says, that's evil. Evil, how can the princess be walking and the servant? Like it, evil. So now, he hopes that you'll grope for him and find him. Then he says, even though he's not far away from each one of us. So the groping and the seeking is not much. You just scratch it, it was there. And has been waiting for you. And nobody can take it. But nobody can take it. Because they are specifics of what you're supposed to do. When you're supposed to do it. And who are supposed to be the people. Everything so specific. A path laid before you. Now when you understand that. Really. I mean not just doctrinal understanding. But know that you step into a place. And there is a path, clear path, which is there. Now, it might not be clear at the beginning. It never is. But it does not become clear until you step in it. And then start moving. Then you know that, how come things are opening up so fast? Things are opening up so fast. And then, you know God gave you a kingdom. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, you see this man here, his kingdom is football. This gentleman here, he came to me long time ago, and I told him that FUFA is going to sponsor him to go and start a course in Germany. Did you know about that? And then I told him, you go and talk to the president. So he went, of course, things on and on, but anyway, he ended up going to Germany and studying a football course. Now he comes back. And now everybody says, that guy is, do you know that they even say he's the best coach in the country? But they have said that. They have said that. Not me. You know, I know a bit of football. Even if I can't go on TV talk, what? But I'm looking forward now. So he's the king. But how much he dominates depends on how much he's willing to project himself on the other people. Because people can say you're good, but then there's a servant who is riding your horse. Amen? And you're supposed to... Servants like horses, man. They will be there waiting to see if you know who you are. The minute you fault a bit, the guy will jump on your horse. And that's just the way it is. So now you come, so you say, I'm going to project myself as such. This is who people are going to see me as. Then you step out and go. I taught you this some time ago. of how you go and, you know, put yourself in a place, in a certain place, and you say, now here people are going to receive, like, you know, starting small, anyhow. So he says, though he is not far from each one of us, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he's right there, waiting for you to come and, Father, where is my kingdom? Because I know I'm a king. Praise the Lord. Now I want to know where my kingdom is. Where is my boundaries? Where are my boundaries? Now, of course, there are people who want to exceed their boundaries. So many of them. And they get hit. And so now that's the thing. There are two kinds of people. There are those who cannot accept that they are king. So they are timid. They go into everything with fear. Then there are those who have too much stupid confidence. So they will never stick to their boundaries. So they will come and they want to exceed their boundaries. And then they get hit. And then they don't understand the simple formula. Let me tell you. Look up in the sky. You see up there. Up there. There are currents which are very, very, very strong. But you don't know about them. Because you're not there. Now, there is an altitude for a chopper. Then there is an altitude for these planes, which those ones which go to Arua, where, and they be like they're on potholes, turbulence. Then the thing shakes. Then the wind blows it. Now you see those planes. You will see them passing by, because they can't go high. Now there is an altitude for an Airbus A380. If these planes dared to go there, they would be tossed. You would see them on the ground. So now you have to know your altitude, because people get so presumptuous and they go to altitudes which are not theirs and they get beaten. And by the way, it can be bad. And they go and do things which are not theirs to do. And sometimes it's because of what? Ignorance. I remember some person told me they went to a state function, and there was a seat where the president was going to sit. So this person, like before the president came and before, you know, they went and sat on the seat and started proclaiming, you know, like a real local. She told me herself, Sibi Ambu, she woke up at night. She went to sleep in bed, and her husband was there next to her. She woke up at night, and she was in the bathroom, passing blood. She was almost passing out. She got a serious attack. She could have died, by the way, but of course, like the protection of God. And sometimes people become excited. Now, if you're not for that level, and you do it, it will hammer you, because you're exceeding your boundaries. Now, this one was a different one. Morocco. Went to parliament. You know that place is like one of the seats of evil. Like the amount of sacrifices which you could do there, in that place. So she went to parliament. And sat up in the, what do they call it? The gallery, yes. And then started proclaiming. That was the previous speaker. Not this current one. I started proclaiming things, you know, what? This was what? Like she said, she was going home and somewhere around Nadia roundabout. She was awake. The next thing she realized, a truck came from nowhere. She had not seen it. It came from, like, almost out of the blue. And, bah! Hamad Haka. Of course, she knew where it came from. Now, there are people who can do that. Then there are those who can't. Amen? There are people who can sit in the other seat and it doesn't hammer them. You know those people. And then there are those who can't. Because if it is beyond your boundaries, it is going to hammer you. And now people do that. And you see, there was a time in churches when people were very ignorant about these things. There's a man who was one of the people I listened to when I was young. He used to teach about prayer, especially in Maurice Seruro conferences. Very, very powerful man. He wrote a book called Pray Without Ceasing. Very, very powerful book. Now, this man said that there is a lot of homosexuality in San Francisco. So he said, you remember that gospel of, you know, which is the spirits which are in the what? So the guy went and hired a chopper. And the chopper went around San Francisco, which is the world's homosexuality capital. This chopper went around San Francisco and he was biting the demons of what? Homosexuality. Guess what happened? The guy is now homosexual. But there are levels. You like, now that's the problem we have some people, because you have to really be sure about your boundaries. That's why he set boundaries and he set times. You can be when you are seeing something ahead which is actually supposed to be yours, but it is not yet time for it. So if you falter in time, you can get hit. Sometimes, of course, not sometimes, a lot of times God protects people. But I'm sure by the time that happened, he probably knew something. Because after that, the man became weird. He started by, you know, blasting all women. He would say, you women, you think you're beautiful, you're what, you're all fake. You come here to tempt us, what? Then people are saying, women, what's wrong? Women have come to listen to the gospel. Why are you getting angry with women? Kumbe, the thing was already taking root. The next thing, the man became a Messias. And now that is sad. And you know, people don't understand that even when you don't just attack. You know, I remember people used to, you know, those people when we were young, also, of course, God protects, where you've gotten the gospel of casting out demons. So you go on the street and find a mad person. People got hit by those things. Who told you that? People have to want you to cast the demons out. People have a right to have demons. What if the person wants the demons? Yes. Do you know how people even go and fast to get those demons? If God cannot violate their will, and for you think because you learned, you know how to, you cast out a demon and it went, and even said wonderful things. Like the other guy of ours, I've told you the story. The demon said that, man, you guys, you have fire. And the person was really possessed. So it wasn't the person talking. You could see it was even talking in a different voice. Like it was a woman speaking in a man's voice. Totally different voice. And the thing first told him that what? Man, that you guy, you are fiery, man. So the guy carried that testimony, man. He would be preaching to us and say, Temwa uri omzimu chegwagamba. And the guy spoke the testimony of the devil over and over again. Temwa uri da. They know. I'm not a joke. So now, there's a lot of childishness. But you see, in actually just going and seeking out the Lord, you get a clear sense of your boundaries and your time. And you can know the time is now. There's a time for everything. And you can absolutely know that the time is now. Let's read that scripture again. Verse 26. It says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. Remember that, pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. So you can't falter in both. But then also, don't be scared. Because some people actually, the majority of people actually, would be comfortable walking when servants are on horses. This caution is just to a few who are very presumptuous and they go very fast. But most people actually are scared. Go to, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Now, when you understand that there is a clear prearranged path, now how do you find it? Like, everything prearranged. Your life is already set up, prearranged path. You're supposed to stay here. At this time, you're supposed to be here. Of course, so many of us falter. I think every human being falters apart from, Jesus is the only one who did it. Who was where he's supposed to be at every time. Okay? Because you can't live up to, nobody can do it. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus had about 300 prophecies about him, which he had to fulfill by just following the Holy Spirit. Then he went there that it might be fulfilled what was spoken. Then he did this. Everything he did was a prophecy. Now, if he just faltered once, one prophecy doesn't come to pass. And he's not the Messiah. So now you see, of course, that's why it says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. But now all of us, we discover the path at some stage. Sometimes maybe you get off a bit. And sometimes you're on the path. But it is prearranged and it is there. And remember it says that you should walk in those paths, living the good life which he prearranged. Now, if it does not come to good life, it is not his prearranged path for you. It has to come to a good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live in. So everything predestined, prearranged, pre-what. Now, somebody asked me that. It seems everything was set up. So it was set up even before people were born, that you were supposed to be born again and what? And some people were supposed to be evil. And then he said, so why then does God judge people if they were born to be evil? Now, that's where Paul answers. Paul has a very good answer to that question. Who knows it? He says, who are you, O man, to question God? In other words, that's beyond your pay grade. Manyawokoma. Now, if you try to go beyond that, people end up in deception because you're trying to be a judge. So there are things which you not understand. Just leave them. Because you say, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Then he says, Jacob, he loved him even before he did anything. So he was appointed by grace, and Esau hated him even before he did anything. And what then he says, some people ask, now why does he do this if he is the one who set up? Then Paul says, stop there. Who are you, O man, to question God? And now that is beyond you. Now you leave that to God. But my point is this. Everything prearranged. Predestined. Everything. Predestined. Now, you may or may not walk into it all the time. But a time comes when you actually get into seeking the Lord. And don't think about seeking the Lord in a very religious way. But a time comes when you actually get to seeking the Lord. And now you find yourself being channeled slowly into a path. Slowly into a path. I recall the time when I was had these ideas of doing some powerful business and so on. I had big ideas of doing business. And I knew how it was supposed to work. But then, when I started submitting to God, then he says, that's not your thing. Because I used to imagine myself as CEO of some big company. Who hasn't imagined that? You have not imagined it? Then maybe you are walking on the ground and praising. Maybe the guy who is what? Letting servants ride the horse. But I'm sure everybody has done it. Okay, to some extent. Some of you might not have the guts to dream that big. But I used to imagine myself, The problem is I didn't know what business I would be doing. So when somebody comes with a business, you jump onto it. And say, now this might be the one. Now I see myself as what? CEO. Then the business collapses. Then you jump onto another one. Then it also collapses. Then people come and bring you gold. Dealing in gold. Then God even saves you from going to prison. Not once. He saves you from going to prison. I told you a time when they told me we are going to be sharing money at this time. Some guys, kumbe they were afraid. And you know when you're desperate, you become very, very easy for afraid to take advantage of. Eh? Like it is so, because you're looking for, you know that gospel of breakthrough, that breakthrough gospel, it's fake. Like, there is, you know, from glory to glory, eh? Because people make it look like you're going to be one day you're here and the next day, pah, you wake up and, you know, CEO of some big company on a 12-story building and you're looking down on the chibuga. Eh? Breakthrough. And then they come and say, yafunye breakthrough. Eh? Like that gospel as best people have. Eh? Like it doesn't happen like that. It really, really doesn't. Even if it appears to happen like that, there has been a story behind where God is doing what. So it doesn't really happen like that. Now, you're there, you know, waiting. Then somebody brings this business. And now the devil loves that man. Because he knows that every trial and failure, your time is passing. Because we are time bad. We have to do things in a certain period. And then he sent for me even some guy who was very good at wasting time. But he always had good ideas. And for some reason, he liked me. And he was a very good person. Like, I can't think of, like, you know, a really, really good person. Not born again, but a very good person. I didn't have a car. I could borrow his car and inconvenience him anytime, and he would not care. He was a very friendly person. And after we started one business and it failed, then we started, and I would plow all my effort into those businesses. And every failure would leave you crushed. Then he says, we do this, you write what, you write proposals, you do this, you know. And I'm saying this for the benefit of some people here. And you go and tell me that what, I remember one time in desperation to get the business to work, I went and did an Esther fast. And I said, now after this, every principality that has been standing in the way of my breakthrough cannot survive this fast. So I did an Esther fast. Now I finished and I came out of the fast and I was expecting big breakthroughs. Instead, it went down. Within a few months of my Esther fast, the business had folded completely. But we even ended up defaulting. And our coffees, which we had got, the landlord came and threw our things out. After an Esther fast. But you see, you cannot fast and change the path. Eh? Because there is a path. And there things appear to be easy. Praise the Lord. In that path, things are work automatically. People come into your path whom you need. Once you discover the path, the person who is going to take you to the next level will show up. Then help you. Then another shows up. Then he helps you. Like it, you really see. And now when you get there, you know that this is the path. Because everything seems to be working itself out. Then you know now this is the prearranged path. Now you cannot. These things were. You say it says predestined, prearranged, before time. Now the fasting cannot change the prearranged. Amen? Kumbe God is there seeing me wasting my time and I'm supposed to be the watchman. And now I'm the CEO of the Watchman Ministry. Eh? And then soon to be CEO of the nation. Anyway. Njachibarume. So that you know that we know our boundaries. Eh? Because I'm seeing some people who are looking at me saying, "Sha, you will be fine. Eh? You'll be fine." Anyway, so now. Then, after that business fails, then another one. Then, and now I've given, man, I'm saying, man, then I even start seeking God and say, God, man. Then the guy comes back now with another one. And now this one, and by the way, when you would speak, you would really see Kalina, a whole floor, headquarters. Like after about three, and then you say now the other one failed this time. And then you plow your effort there, and then it fails again. Now, I got to a time where I was broken, completely broken. Then, the first thing the Lord did was, he had to take me out of that synagogue. Because he showed me, I had a dream. And in the dream, I clearly saw that this guy had been sent by the enemy to waste my time. And I'm telling you, a very good person whom you cannot... You see, it would be easier to believe that of some of you. Because some of you can be mean. But I'm talking about somebody who was a very good guy. If you're not mean, I'm not talking about you. If you're mean, I'm talking about you. And I'm joking. But, so now the guy I saw clearly in a dream, that he was taking me around. You know, I haven't forgotten a specific dream, but he was taking me around. And we are very busy, but doing nothing. And it was clear when I woke up from the dream that this guy is taking me in circles. This is going nowhere. Then I came out of the dream. Now I started distancing myself from him. But it was a bit difficult because he was my birthday and what. And, you know, I didn't have too many friends that time. But I started distancing myself from him. Then he looked for me one day, searched me out diligently. And he had a culture. Now this one cannot fail. And when I listened to it, man, it really sounded like it cannot fail. Now, I said no. I remember the dream, and I said no. I'll pass. Let me go and seek the Lord. So I left, and I left that, and I left moving around the circles. And then, the guy continued with his watcher. The next time I knew, I was saving him from prison. Because he had gone into debt. They were going to take him to what? To Ruzira. They were going to commit him to Ruzira. And it was a Friday. And the magistrate had told him, if by 4 p.m. you haven't gotten the money, you're going to board the bus. Now, I wish you knew how much in those days I used to be in dread of boarding that bus. Like even the very thought of it would scare me as a man. Because I remember I would see, like, just know that I had a, is that even when I would see them passing that maroon bus, I would say, man, now those guys, it was like they are going to hell. In my what? In my view. Now, I used to fear that bus until I boarded it. You know what says that Christ overcame the fear of death by dying? Now there is no fear in me whatsoever. Like, by the way, some things you have to just, because I used to dread that bus. Now I remember when I went inside, I get put into the chibas. DMC. Then the thing is struggling to go up here. Meanwhile, you're like packed inside there, like sardines. Then we pass Chitintare. Then I'm looking, and like, now, suddenly, all the fear has gone. Now, when I reach the prison, and then, man, I just, okay. Eventually, they got for me a mattress. Not eventually. I spent one day on it. But they got me a mattress and what? You know, for 100K. So bring 100K for the 2 weeks you're going to be here for a mattress. Now, you know, 100K like can cause inflation in prison. Yet when I would be on the phone coding, I'll tell admin, put 500K on this phone. And even the prison guards turn and look, 500? Then they said, then I have to work to say it. So if I had even there told her put 2 million, there was going to be a confusion in that place. So I was doing it little by little. Lest I cause what? Inflation. But anyway, now I just wanted to make you laugh. That was Nyongeza. Now let's go back to the injury. Let's go back to the injury. So I overcame the whole. Now I wake up in the morning and like, yeah. Then people, when at night people are sleeping and they are, you know, snoring, farting and what. And I'm seated there and I'm just praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord and what. And then, now, Now when I go to court and I see those, there was a time I used to dread them. Anyway. So, the other guy, the next time I knew, I was saving him from boarding the bus. If I had continued with him, I'm telling you, because even now he's here. Now, do you know this is like how many years? More than 10 years later, the guy is still here. Like, and you know, like going around, where you see he's going nowhere, but he's busy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Eh? Where you're busy, but you, somebody who is looking from outside knows you're going nowhere. Like you're stationary. What the Bible says, how long will you go around the same mountain? So you see him, he's going nowhere. But now, when I left and went and said, now God, I am ready for anything. Now you see also the Lord brings it. Now that's where the Lord was there in the hope, what Paul said, in the hope that you will seek him. Eh? Where God was saying, but why don't you just come and I give you your kingdom? Why are you suffering? Eh? There is a kingdom for you. He says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. So when I got to that point where I said, you know what, I'm tired of doing things. Let me just surrender to God. It took like less than a year. Then he gave me my first instruction, which was to start a radio show of Watchman Ministries. And everything else has come thereafter. And the way I knew he had given me the kingdom, I'm telling you this story for the benefit of some of you. Eh? When I knew he had given me the kingdom, is after I preached on radio for 6 months, and apparently, you know, you just go and preach and go home. Go and talk for 1 hour, you know, Antichrist, beast, what, you know, then go home. Then one day, that Spirit FM did a survey and said to see which are the shows which people like most. And guess who was number one? So I said, hey, so all along when I'm blubbering, people are listening. Because you have no idea, by the way. As you just go and talk. Talk. Then that's when the conference. Then I called people. I said, we are going to have a conference. Those who want to come and help us to organize, to do what? All of you, come. We meet at Open House. You remember Open House? There near Kwatoto. I said, all of you come, Open House. So I announced like for 3 straight weeks, a date, come at Open House. Now, I was absolutely unsure. I had absolutely no expectation. I didn't know what to expect. Is even anybody going to show up? Then I reached there, and there were like 50 people. All of them saying, we are here to help you organize the conference. Some were good organizers. Some were had money. Some were what? And I said, so all these 50 people came because I called them. I think God has given me something. Praise the Lord. Now, that might sound like small now, but I'm telling you, at the time, it was monumental. Because those people helped me organize the conference, and we finished the conference, and a lot of those people stayed around the ministry for some time. A lot of them have since gone. But I sought the Lord, and he showed me Micah 3 and said, you don't forget about that. You know. And then Micah dream of being on some building and watching over the city. Micah CEO dream. Eh? Then I went and got an office, which wasn't 12 story, but carry. I could watch over the city. Eh? You remember the office? Eh? Some of it was, so it wasn't bad. So I would sit there and cross my legs, get a cup of coffee, and say, man, the Lord is good. I would be going around the same mountain with the other guy. And now so many people are like that. Now, when you actually find your kingdom, man, you discover that there were people there waiting for you all along. They were just waiting for you. Amen? And if you don't step out, they don't. Because God has given them the duty of serving you. So, do you know how many people you're keeping? You guys here, you fearful people here. Do you know how many people you are keeping in poverty by fearing to step out? You go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became a captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now imagine David anointed to be king. He just steps out and goes. And somehow there are people who were waiting for somebody like that. And without him going and making an announcement, that you people, I'm running away from Saul's kingdom. Anyone who wants to know, he doesn't make an announcement. He just goes. But somehow God had people there. Now these ones, people who were in debt, discontented, there's a translation which says useless men. All of them became very powerful people in the kingdom of David. But they were useless before David stood out and went. Now there are so many people who are useless because you've not stood out. Now, there are so many people who, if I had stayed around that thing of stupid businesses, there are so many people who would not have, so many things would not have happened. Praise the Lord. Now that is true for you. Just find your, there are people who are waiting for you and they will be there. Like as soon as you jump out, you wonder where they came from. And they were there, like David. And they are always there. Amen? Even if it's to start a business. Now for me it wasn't. Eh? Now for some of you it is actually to start a business. As soon as you step out, you will find that there are guys who are there waiting for you to come. And you are saying, hey, where have you come from? And God had prepared them all along to just come and join you. And you were the one holding them back. Amen? But until you find your kingdom, until you go and sit on your horse, and you understand what you've been talking about. Or let's read one more verse before end. Judges chapter 11. Now Jephthah the Gilead was a mighty man of valor, but he was a son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Verse 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Now, it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead, who chased him away, went out to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Go ahead. Then they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we might fight against the people of Ammon. Next verse. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? Go ahead. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, I want you to know that the people who were called worthless, who joined him, were the people who went and won a battle for Israel, and they are the people who reigned with him. Because he gave them a condition, if I go and help you fight against the people of Ammon, you will make me king over you. And because they were in distress, they said, okay, you shall be king over us. But then, the people who were worthless became his commanders, whom the scripture called worthless. Now, how many worthless people are worthless because you've not started your business? Praise the Lord. How many people are useless, worthless, in debt, rudderless? They don't have whatever because you haven't stepped out. And God is asking you to step out. Praise the Lord. We do not have time. There is something. There is nobody who is here who doesn't have something like big, not small. I don't want you to tell me that I have a car. What? I mean, worthless people are not going to join you when you are starting a car, a corner shop to sell, you know, flour. Ngano and what? Eh? No, there is something which, there is something which God has, and there are people who are waiting for you, and they are worthless. Worthless means, like, they don't have any direction, and you are, God is there looking for you, and you are going to be their direction, like Jephthah was, or like David was. And now you're scared, if I step out, How am I going? Like that, my instead of calling people for the conference, and I'm saying, is anybody even going to come? I didn't even know that people listened to me. I just said, go and start a radio show. I went, I negotiated for a time, started 6 months later. I don't know who listens what. So when 50 people came, I got confidence and said, so, actually, there are people who listen to me. Now, people who had been, okay, I'll use the word, but I don't take it, you know, worthless, who needed me to step out for them to get a direction, show up. And then God was all along waiting for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have I communicated to you today? There is something I'm trying to tell you. That don't think you're a king and there is a jurisdiction for you and it is not far away. As soon as I went to seek the Lord after going around that mountain with that guy, I understood from earlier on that for almost 15 years I had been studying end time and I used to think it was a hobby. Then when I went to seek the Lord, I realized it was not a hobby. It was a calling. And then, glory to God. Now there are some people who I'm seeing here who are comfortable in a place and they are supposed to start something big. They are worthless men who are waiting for you. I'm not going to tell you what you know, but you are there. Comfort. You know what I mean by comfort? You're good at this, you can may survive, make a living, but like you're bigger than that. Huh? And now the others whom I'm seeing, people are waiting for you. Glory to God. So now, some of you 400 people are waiting for you, some of you 1,000, some of you what? Some of you, whole nation is waiting for you. But you have not gone to seek the Lord for the keys of your kingdom. And he is there, near, as Paul said, in the hope that he will grope and he comes and he's near. He's near.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare, The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mokwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 752 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman Magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.